Can you talk about the bevacizumab part of the trial that's being presented here?
Sure. So the Avastin part of the trial showed that there was an advantage to the addition of Avastin, both for the combination of chemotherapies. There are some subset differences. So when you look at the Xelox arms of the study versus the FOLFOX arms of the study, there are some differences which we presented at ESMO. And the difference essentially is that it appears that there's less benefit for Avastin with the FOLFOX regimen than there is with the Xelox regimen. We think that's a statistical trickery. By chance, there are some patients in the FOLFOX arm who are very good prognosis patients. And we think that's what's swaying that bit of the study. The other bit that causes some people concern is that the quantum of benefit that you see with Avastin with the oxaliplatin-containing regimens here is less than was seen in the original Hurwitz data.
Can you talk about those numbers more specifically?
So with the Hurwitz data, it's about 4 months. With our study, it's about 1.5 months in terms of the absolute median difference in progression-free survival. When you stack them against other trials with Avastin, they are actually within the kind of envelope of statistical possibility, but they're at the lower end of that envelope. There's no doubt about that. And we've been looking very closely at reasons as to why that might be. The best hypothesis we have at the moment is that although the protocol was written that when the patient stopped an element of their chemotherapy, you could stop the oxaliplatin because of neuropathy and continue the 5-FU and Avastin, or vice versa. If you stopped the 5-FU, you could continue with the oxaliplatin and Avastin. And what actually happened in real life in the trial was that in the majority of patients, when the chemotherapy stopped, the Avastin stopped. And that happened at around 6 months for a large proportion of the patients in the trial. When you contrast that with what happened in Hurwitz trial, because the rules were very similar in the Hurwitz trial, what happened there was that most of the patients actually continued the Avastin for longer. And they continued the Avastin, in fact, until progression. Whereas in the 66 trial, many patients stopped the Avastin before they progressed. It's even more difficult to explain that because when you look at the Avastin-specific side effects, they're actually not very high in the 66 trial. Numerically, they're lower than has been seen in other trials, but yet the removal of patients from chemotherapy because of adverse events is higher in the Avastin-containing part of the trial. So there's a sort of a mismatch there that I'm not entirely sure that we can explain that. You have to put this into the same time frame as what was happening with the rest of the world. So what was happening in the rest of the world was the business of chemotherapy-free holidays was becoming more acceptable. The data was emerging from the Optimox studies that probably it was not of great detriment to the patient to have holidays from chemotherapy. And I think that that has influenced the clinicians in our trial, and they've been influenced into saying, okay, so we'll give the patient some holidays from chemotherapy because that doesn't look like it's bad. And what they've done is stop the Avastin at the same time, because I guess patients have said, well, it would be good to be off treatment, completely off treatment. And therefore, the duration of Avastin in our trial is less than the Hurwitz trial, and that then makes the progression-free survival time less. Now, that's all hypothetical, I have to say. I don't really want to sort of pin my colours to the mast and say that's the reason for this. But it's at least a plausible potential explanation for what happened.